Coming in hot, 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 Lisa shares her financial tips and strategies to build wealth, have fun with finances, and be debt-free without having a restrictive budget. From bankrupt to millionaire, Lisa knows what it's like to feel as if you're living paycheck to paycheck. Her unconventional money multiplier system is the very wealth protocol that enabled her to retire 2.5 years early, pay down $100,000 of debt in 6 months, and move to her dream home at the beach. Hey, hey, welcome back to this episode of I Date Money. You're not going to guess who our special guest is today. Yes, it is the James I Bond. James Bond is in the house, people. Everyone, he has wrote this book called Brain Glue, How Selling Becomes Much Easier by Making Your Ideas Sticky. I shared this with my husband and he's like, oh, I totally get it. He's talking about sticky notes, right? Like you get this idea and it's a sticky note. And I'm like, well, haven't read the book yet, but I like that perspective. So James I. Bond is one of America's leading behavioral management specialists. And he is a finalist as the best business book of the year by Publishers Weekly because it's blowing the minds of some people. As a billion-dollar book author, Jack Canfield explains it, if you're trying to impress or sell anyone and you don't know this, I believe you have a massive disadvantage and you probably don't even realize it. How's that to get Jack Canfield on your book? For 13 years, he ran one of Southern California's leading behavioral management firms, working with a who's who of American business. Early in his career, he ran an advertising agency in Montreal. He is a workshop leader and past workshop chairman for the Resource Partner of the U.S. Small Business Administration and has been a featured guest speaker at 3 Southern California universities. Welcome, James I. Bond. Thank you so much for being here. And you got a great portfolio there. I love that you're Small Business Administration and you got this brain glue. I mean, I can't wait to read this book. So tell us, what was the brainchild behind this book?
Well, Lisa, first, thank you for having me. I mean, actually, my parents had me, but you're having me now, so that's great. So it's blowing people's minds. We never realize how powerful and important persuasion is. I have one guy who read the book, and he's telling me, I was trying to get a date with this girl of my dreams, and I read your book, and I figured out how to do it. Now I said, it's not meant for that. He said, no, but it worked. I started telling her jokes, and I started having fun and have phrases and stuff, and like it was working. So it's like, okay, it was fun. So I'm originally from Montreal, and I had an advertising agency. We've lived in Southern California for, I guess, 37 years. Our middle daughter, we gave her the initials LA, so we'd remember how long we've moved here. How old's Lauren? Okay, LA. So in Montreal, I worked my way up and with an advertising agency and eventually won some of the biggest clients in the world, Kraft Foods, who's in Canada, Timex Watches, Avon Cosmetics, Abbott Laboratories, Seagram's, their world headquarters is there. And I had an opportunity to win the anti-drug campaign in America. And I came up with, I'm a logical person, as most of us are, right? Logical. Well, logic is how you sell, right? No, I didn't know that. I had powerful logical reasons why you should not do drugs. And then we lost. And we lost for a good reason because the campaign was infinitely more powerful than anything I knew how to do. And it scared me. It was a guy holding an egg saying, this is your brain. Cracking the shell and dropping the egg into a sizzling frying pan. This is your brain on drugs. Any questions? And, when I saw that ad, it scared me. First, I knew this was much better than my ad, the ad that we did. But also, it was using emotional selling. One. Pardon?
Drugs. Nope. Did we freeze?
Uh-oh. But it, so.
A little interruption in the internet.
Okay, yeah. Okay. I'll hopefully.
We can still hear you, James.
Good. Okay. When I saw the ad, it made me realize that this is emotional selling, and it's something they don't teach in school. And I had no idea how to do emotional selling. And yet emotional selling was infinitely more powerful than logic. I've done a lot of studies and research since then. I've been doing this for about 35 years, actually. It wasn't called brain glue initially, but it does stick to your brain. That's why it's called brain glue. You know, these names and tools and stuff like that. I realized they don't teach this in school, emotional selling. And yeah, this is profound. I'm in advertising and marketing and life, and I don't know emotional selling. You know, how can I be in business and not know emotional selling? And so I decided to create a passion box. First, I love 3x5 cards. So I wrote "Your Brain on Drugs" on a 3x5 card so I'd remember the ad. And then I created a passion box. I put it right next to my computer. And I said, every time I see an ad or hear something that's emotionally powerful, rather than trying to overanalyze it, let me just put it in a box in the hopes that eventually I'll have so many examples that I could figure out how emotional selling works. After about 10 years, when we moved to Southern California, and nobody asked why we moved to Southern California from Montreal. It was like 50 below in summer and winter time. So anyway, it's really beautiful today. I met John Gray, and John Gray was telling me about this incredible book he wrote, which I had a copy of, called Men, Women, and Relationships, one of the best relationship books ever. And he was telling me that he was struggling. Only a few thousand people bought his book. And everybody who bought the book and read it loved it. They said, this is the most incredible relationship book I've ever read. But people weren't buying the book. I mean, a few thousand, not that many, you know? And he's telling me that he got this crazy idea. He was actually at a conference trying to sell his book. And he said something, and all the women in the audience started laughing hysterically. And all the men looked at the women and went like, what's so funny that he just said? And somebody said, you know, it's almost like men are from a different planet. What planet do you think men are from? And he said, I guess men are from Mars. And everybody started laughing. When he got home, he said, well, if men are from Mars, where are women from? I guess women are from Venus. Venus is the god of love. Huh, what would happen since nobody's buying my book anyway, or almost nobody's buying my book anyway, what happens if I change the title to Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, and tweak the content just a little to refer to it throughout the book? Guess what happened?
Yeah, I know the book.
me too. Who doesn't? He sold 50 million copies. He sold 500,000 copies almost overnight. In fact, I know Steve Harrison, who helped him with marketing. And I said, in my book, I say he sold 10 million copies. And Steve said, wrong. I said, I did my research. He said, no, we're already over 50 million copies sold. 50 million. He went from 20,000 to 50 million just because he changed the title. It freaked me out. It was wow. Could just changing the title, could, if we have the wrong title, if we have a logical title, could that be, you know, can that be hurting us? And if we had emotion in it, that it would make a difference. So I wrote Men Are From Mars on a 3x5 card because I love those 3x5 cards. And when I got home, before I put it inside the box, the passion box, I suddenly went, wait a second, this is a metaphor. Men aren't really from a different planet. It's a metaphor. You know what I mean? I think some women out there think we're from a different planet. I mean, we certainly act that way sometimes, but it's a whole other story, okay? But no, men are not from Mars. But the point is, I realized this is a metaphor. I also realized, wait a second, this is your brain on drugs is a metaphor too, because that was an egg, not a, you know, an egg in a frying pan. But then people got the idea. Okay, it's your brain when it takes drugs is just like an egg going into a frying pan. You know, you're frying your brain. And I was like, wow, is metaphor the secret to emotional selling, or at least one of the secrets? So I decided to dump the passion box on my bed, and I quickly discovered 14 brain triggers at the heart of emotional selling. I thought my brain was going to explode because, like, wow, you know, when you use this, and I was an advertiser and did advertising for lots of companies and stuff, I would start applying this to company. You know, we get theories, okay, but we still have to apply it. You know, this, wow, have I just figured something out? Well, I have clients, so besides myself, I could try it out on clients. So I had these three guys who had a construction company who after 10 years had $2 million of sales. That's not bad, eh? $2 million of sales? Ha, ha, ha. In 1 year, I took them from 2 to 10 million in sales by applying brain glue, and they reached 32 million 2 years later. And they couldn't believe how easy it was. It was suddenly, it became easy. Yeah, what they did was I got them to specialize on a certain on a narrow market. First of all, we said, and they said fire restoration for insurance companies. I have no idea what that was, but they started saying it's an insurance company that has a client that has a fire. Oh, okay. And so I said, okay, so that's interesting. So when you're calling on a prospect, an insurance company, because they have a client that had a fire, what's the trigger word? What's the first word they think of? And they're all looking at me like, I don't know. I said, think about it. They had a client that had a fire. What's the first thing that comes to mind? The word. It took them a while. They finally said, fire? Yeah, fire. Okay. Fire. The client had a fire. It wasn't that complicated, but you know, sometimes you don't have the creativity inside us because we're so emotional, we're so logical. I said, so if the
Right,
first word they think of is
too
fire,
logical.
exactly. So if the first word is fire, why don't we call you guys the fire extinguisher for insurance companies? Okay. And we'll actually get the website firex.com. And so I went with them because I didn't think they were actually going to try this on clients. So they went into an insurance company and we're talking, and they're talking and going through a pitch. And I said, yeah, just think of us as your fire extinguisher. Okay. Every time you got a client that has a fire, call us in. We'll put out the fire for you financially. Okay. And they started
I
laughing,
like
the
it.
clients. As we got back to the office, literally that client was calling already with, hey, I got work for you guys. I got a client. I need my fire extinguisher. That's what he said. And it worked. And they went from 2 million because they started calling on insurance companies to 10 million in sales. Literally, almost within 1 year, they went to 10 million in sales. They couldn't believe how easy it was. And it's all because, you know, they defined it really simply. And so, and in fact, they razzed me. They said, hey, Bond, it was supposed to be 12 million. And I said, shut up. They bought brand new BMWs, the biggest BMW. There's three Beamers in front of their offices. You know, they couldn't believe how much money was coming in. I mean, it was just
Right.
amazing. You know,
And
it's
it
just.
does. It's just a simple tweak of the words, right? And I'm always focusing on the art of brevity, right? We all want to explain what we do in simple terms. Like, what's the main result? I was having a conversation earlier with somebody, and they were trying to figure out what words to use to combine two different programs that they teach under one umbrella. And I'm like, well, what's the result that you get? And it took her a little bit to figure out, to narrow down as after asking specific questions. I know, and it's great practice for me too, because sometimes when someone says, well, what do you do? And I'm like, well, I'm a wealth activator. And they're like, well, what's that? And I'm like, well, I help you multiply your money with the money you already have. And when I first started sharing it, it probably took me like 20 minutes to explain that. And because I was so detail oriented. But when you think about simple terms like 10x your profit, multiply your money, activate wealth, personify money. Those are really simple terms, and I think that's why Brain Glue is so genius. And I mean, obviously it worked for Men Are From Mars, and because as soon as you said Men Are From Mars, I'm like, I know that book. I've read that book, and it's so important. And being in the SBA and being in marketing and sales, it just gives you of experience. With your own money story, what helped you get to monetize it so that you can multiply your money? What was the one thing that helped you get over to create that gap?
Okay, so I worked as a consultant, and so now I've become a really smart consultant because I'm coming up with Brain Glue tools. Okay, and for that, they're going like, "Whoa! I have this guy I was talking to just yesterday, and he's got a haircut place, and he's thinking of changing the name." I said, "So let's use a tool called alliteration, which is repetition of sound. Why don't you call you guys the Haircut Heroes?" He went, "Oh, that's interesting." I was talking to this other guy, whose name is Bear David Bear. And I said, he has an advertising company. I said, oh, I got a name for you. Why don't you call it Bare Naked Advertising? And he's like, first he's laughing, okay? He said, but remember, it's triggering your brain. It gets this, you to stand out from the crowd, you know? But so just, I was selling a pet supplement online. And, you know, one of the things about online selling is that people make it seem like it's really easy, but it's harder than most people realize. But eventually
No
I
doubt. I
figured
was
this.
involved in a couple of rounds.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this one, so I was working as a consultant and making good money until I started selling this pet supplement, and suddenly I called my wife and I said, hey, Pam, Amazon just, I mean, American Express just charged our credit card $1,000. And she said, well, shut it off. I said, oh, wait a second. We just made 5,000, 6,000, 7,000. I'm going to call you right back. When I told her how much money we're making, I think 11,000 for $1,000. She said, well, spend more. It's like, okay, you know, but I remember it was scary. You know, I was so used to getting money, but suddenly I'm making over seven figures, you know, out of this online product I was selling. That's it does this works for everybody, not just online products. But I'm selling an online product as well as doing consulting, and suddenly I'm making like, you know, four, five, six times the amount of money from this online thing just because I came up with the title for it. So I love telling the story of, so there's a mom and her son in Utah with no business experience who came up with a product idea and went from zero to $100 million in less than 2 years with no business experience. Okay. So what does she do? So she has trouble when she goes to the bathroom. So she realizes that a doctor was telling her it really helps if you can raise your feet off the floor, but like 6 or 8 inches off the floor, it really helps with the shape of your body when you go to the bathroom. I don't want to get too much into that, but okay. So she said, okay, fine. And of course, they're watching Shark Tank and stuff, as a lot of people are fans of Shark Tank. And they thought, wow, we can, you know, it would be fun if we, you know, start selling this product. They found a manufacturer and all that stuff. And they said, but we need a really cool name for it. So they start with the logic, which we should always start with the logic. And the logic name was toilet stool. Okay. But that doesn't sound like a really inviting thing. I mean, hey, you want to buy a toilet stool? You know, it's like, you know what? And so she's thinking, like, well, okay, what are some different names for toilet? Potty. Okay. And I'm kind of squatting. Squatty potty. Rhyme. Let's use squatty potty. Squat. They started selling it online first. Sales exploded. They couldn't believe it. It was like they're just, you know, new at it. So they're learning how do you process orders and stuff on Amazon and all that stuff. But they sold over $100 million of the product in less than 2 years. They got a Shark Tank, and you know, almost all the investors wanted to invest in their company. A, because they had good sales, but B, because of the name. The name stood out for them. So how's this for an idea? How would you like to come up with an incredible idea? Your biggest competitor steals it from you and makes a ton of money while you starve to death. Would that be fun? Yeah, no. Okay, well,
Not
let
at
me tell you
all.
this story, okay? This is Post Cereals competes with Kellogg's. And so the head of Post Cereals came up with this idea. And they said, you know, we should make this little cake. And you put jelly inside it, or, you know, like strawberries, blueberries, raspberries. Hang on, I'm going to sneeze. I'm not. I hate that. You know. Excuse me. There, got it. Anyway,
God bless
so
you.
thank you. So strawberries, blueberries, raspberries inside it. And you put it in a toaster. And when it comes, pops up out of the toaster, you know, you've got this nice little cake that you can use for breakfast, you can use for snacks and everything else. And let's call it Country Squares. So 3 months before they launched the product, this is a mistake they made. They bragged about it to the media and showed it to the media and said, look, we're launching this product. It's called Country Squares and it's amazing and blah, blah, blah. Okay. The head of Kellogg's looked at it and said, okay, first, guys, we got to figure out how to make that right away because they're launching it in 3 months. Then they had to come up with a name. Well, it pops out of the toaster. So let's call it Pop Something. And then back then, Andy Warhol was a pop artist, was really famous at the time. And everybody knew the word pop art, which is anchoring, where you take something that's already in the brain. Okay. So let's call it Pop Tarts. Okay. And of course, he launched it 1 week before Post launched their Country Squares, of course. They ran out of inventory right away. They couldn't believe that people were buying this. Like they were, you know, it was just sold out like within about 4 or 5 days. So they ran full page ads in magazines and newspapers apologizing that we ran out, but just hold on for a little while and we'll get more of it in the store. Nobody bought Country Squares. They waited for Pop-Tarts to become available. Pop-Tarts became the biggest selling product Kellogg's has ever had. And Country Squares, within 6 months, they stopped selling it. They
Wow.
invented the product, but they didn't have a good name. And because they didn't have a good name, the other name was so, you know, I mean, it resonated so much that Pop-Tarts, I mean, like you hear Pop-Tarts, you know what it is right away. If you ever see an ad for it, you know, I mean, it's really powerful and it sounds fun, you know. Put in a toaster and your tart pops out of your toaster. And so that's why it's important for us. I mean, what I love is this doesn't just work for creating product names and pitches, but it also works for quotes. President John F. Kennedy said, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. He said, mankind must put an end to war, or war will put an end to mankind. That's chiasmus. It's a flip. It's like all for one and one for all. It's a flip. When you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. Okay. And that's Malcolm X said. Malcolm X said, civil rights activist Malcolm X said, we didn't land on Plymouth Rock. The rock landed on us. Okay. I mean, whoa. Okay. It just, it pops. And so that's, so it's just, I work with Warren Buffett in my behavioral management firm with his team. And Warren Buffett has this great line. He says, only when the tide goes out do you discover who's been swimming naked. Okay. What he's basically saying is only when times are tough do you realize who's really competent. Okay. But if he says that, people go, okay, nobody would remember it. But he says, only when the tide goes out do you discover who's been swimming naked. And you go, like, well, you remember it. You start sharing it with other people, et cetera. So it's quotes, product names. I mean, it's amazing how, I mean, a big ass fans. Carrie Smith started a manufacturing company. He started making pretty good money. And a friend of his had a fan company and made really huge fans. And they sold them to like farms, like barns. You're not going to air condition a barn if you've got horses or cows. You put up a big fan, really big fans. And so he bought the company, and I forget what the company was called, Joe's Fans or something like that. And he started to run an ad, and he thought, people don't understand how big these things. These are big ass fans. They're not just big fans. And when he put big ass fans, he ran his ad, sales exploded. And he decided, wait a second, maybe I should change the name of the company to Big Ass Fans. He has a great logo. He has the butt of a donkey facing you, and a donkey's head is looking at you, and the other side it says Big Ass Fans. Donkey's an ass. And the donkey's butt is facing you. Big Ass Fans exploded in sales. In fact, what happened was he was making so much money, he decided to offer other products. And then he realized, wait a second, this is distracting me from the fans. I should just be focusing on the fans. He made so much money that after 15 years, he sold his company. Like a lot of people, if you have a company after 15 years, hopefully you sell it for enough that you can retire or whatever. He got $500 million for Big Ass Fans. Okay. And it's because it all changed because he had the word Big Ass Fans. I love this example. So what does a billionaire Richard Branson, Madonna, and olive oil have in common? The word virgin. Virgin olive oil? Like a virgin touched by the fairy first time. I love that song. Anyway, that made helped her become a blockbuster. And Richard Branson, he dropped out of high school. He didn't even finish high school. He borrowed money from his dad. He didn't have much money. And he started a magazine for musicians, a music magazine. Okay. Eventually, he started a production company, a record company. And he came up with the name, he came up with the name Virgin Records. And he started getting people like the Rolling Stones and stuff to sign on to him. He has like all these trademarks with the word virgin inside it, virgin manufacturing, virgin construction, virgin this, virgin that. Because he recognized that having the word virgin is a trigger word. It's like, whoa, it really grabs attention. And it's like, did you ever see the Vagina Monologues?
No.
Okay, but if you
Can't
ever
say
heard of them,
that
it, okay, yeah, really.
I have.
But
And I don't think so.
it's about the tough world that women are in. Okay, it sort of goes through that. So if it was called The Tough World Women Are In, do you think it would get as much as many fans as Vagina Monologues? No, it's just,
No.
it's like, whoa.
No.
I mean, I wouldn't use a word like that. Vagina advertising, I wouldn't do that. But but she decided she wanted to do that, and became massively successful as a result. There's an HBO, apparently an HBO show on Vagina Monologues coming out, and she became really, Eve Ensler became really famous. But I mean, it's just,
Oh, because same.
yeah,
But
it's just.
they're still talking about the same thing. So looking at all business, our audience is a lot of entrepreneurs, coaches, 5, 6, 7 figure coaches who are always looking to improve, reflecting and refining how we improve to do the next big thing. How we get to 7 figures, 8 figures. How do we multiply this service that we have? So by reading brain and coming up with these ideas of, oh, I can just tweak that. Like even something as simple as like a monthly membership called Profit Goldmine. So, what's your perspective on that?
You want to have a name that resonates. And some of the tools to make it resonate were, I don't know if I was telling you this, but I have this barber, and he was calling it, give you haircuts, and he was coming up with a different name. So alliteration is the repetition of sounds. Coca-Cola, Best Buy, PayPal, Lululemon, TikTok. I mean, you think TikTok would be as successful if it was called a Chinese social media platform? I don't think so. Okay.
I know.
So you want to find a term, yeah, really. But you want to find a term that resonates with the brain. Okay, it positively resonates with the brain. I mean, heroes is a good word. It's a good, it's a nice thing. So haircut heroes. Whoa, that sounds like pretty cool. And you want a name that's going to stand out from the crowd. Here's how I describe brain glue. I actually have two phrases and then one metaphor. Okay, the metaphors are really powerful as phrases are. So first I say, switch your pitch if you want to get rich. So how did I get that? I said, pitch, it's your pitch. Okay, what rhymes with pitch? I went through Amazon. I went through Google, and also you can go through AI, ChatGPT, and get like synonyms or words that sound the same. But I went, okay, switch your pitch if you want to get rich. Okay, that's one. That was the first one I had. Then as time went on, I wanted something a little more sophisticated. I said, I build desire in your buyer. Brain glue helps you light the fire of desire in your buyer. Now you find words that rhyme, okay? But then I realized metaphors are really good, and it took me a while to come up with a metaphor that was really good. How I came up with it, I was talking to these three women who are somewhat religious, and so I have this joke I shared with them, because jokes is part of brain glue too. I have a friend who's in the top 10 attorneys in the country. I won't say who he is because I don't want to get him in trouble, but he gets judges and juries to laugh. He tells them jokes while he's doing this. And when you get them to laugh, they're more likely to want you to win, believe it or not. And he wins cases that a lot of people don't win. But so I told him the joke. I said, so a little girl came up to her mommy and said, Mommy, Daddy says we came from apes, but you say we came from Adam and Eve. Honey, Daddy's talking about his family. I'm talking about my family. Okay. So that was the joke. Okay. So then, so I talked, and they started laughing. Then this other woman came up, and I wanted to tell her the same joke, but I realized if I tell her the same joke, the first women were not going to laugh because the trigger worked only the first time with jokes. Okay. And it suddenly made me realize, like, that's what this is about. It's like about brain triggers. And so I came up with this metaphor and to describe why brain glue works. And it's when you leave your home, you drive down the street and you pass all these homes or apartments, whatever, wherever you live. Okay. You're not going to look at everyone and go, oh, look at his home, look at his home, look at her home, blah, blah, blah. You pass it every day. You don't even bother looking at them. Okay. Until one day, two houses down from you, there are flames coming out of the window. And you're going to stop and go, huh, does he know his house is on fire? Does he call 911? Is it going to burn down my house? Okay. It's a trigger, a brain trigger. And we have brain triggers wired into us. And that's what brain glue does, is brain glue helps you get flames coming out of your book or your product, because people are half asleep. We don't realize it, but we're so bombarded with information and logic that we'll sit and it looks like they're listening to you, but they're not really. Hey, I have this new product. Okay, no, let me think about it, or I'm not interested. Okay, well, because they didn't trigger something in the brain. I remember this, an ad for Blue Emu. It's our anti-arthritis cream. And the TV's on next to me while I'm doing work on a computer. And it has Johnny Bench, who's like a famous baseball player. And he's talking and he says, Blue Emu. And then he says, it works fast and you won't stink. And I'm like, what did he just say? What did he just say? And from that moment forward, I was watching the commercial because he triggered the emotion centers of my brain. It was like flames coming out of it. It's like Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus. I remember I was in Barnes and Noble bookstore and I was looking at book, 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 Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus, book, book. What? Wait a second. Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus? What's that? And I picked it up, which is the first step to getting them to buy it, is to pick it up. I picked it up and I started looking at the book and I was like, oh, wow, this is great. And then I got the book. So I have this woman who, spent zero money on social media and she has more than 5 million fans. So how does she have more than 5 million fans if she doesn't spend any money on marketing on social media? So she's a stay-at-home mom and she decided she wanted to create a Facebook page. And she's thinking, okay, I want to, talk about me being a mom. Okay. So mommy needs time to herself. Mommy needs a rest. You have no idea how hard it is raising kids, okay? I know what mommy needs. Mommy needs vodka. Mommy needs vodka. That was her page. So one of my friends must be one of her fans, and somehow I got a post from her. She has good posts, but a lot of people have good posts and you still don't have a lot of fans. But I got one of her posts and it looked pretty good. But it's but mommy needs vodka. It's flames. Okay, flames coming out of the name. Mommy needs vodka? Huh. I clicked on that, went to her page. I liked the post she had, and I became a fan, like more than 5 million other people. And it's because this whole idea of you want flames coming out of your post. You want to flames coming out of your, what you're saying. We didn't we didn't land on Plymouth Rock. The rock landed on us. Okay. He said, when he says that, it's like, oh, that sticks to the brain. That's interesting. Okay. So it's what you say or what you're promoting that you want to be able to trigger the brain. So flames are coming out of it. So people go, whoa, what's that? It doesn't matter if it's an online product or if it's in a store or if it's a service you're selling, like my fire my fire extinguisher guys. When we would say fire extinguisher to the prospect, you know what they did? They laughed. You're a fire extinguisher? Yeah, we're your fire extinguisher. Okay. Well, laughers are buyers often, okay? And so people went like, okay, but the name fire stuck to the brain. So it has Joe, we have this John Johnson has a fire in his house. Okay. Oh, fire. I got a fire extinguisher. I got to call those guys. See, it sticks to the brain. It's like flames coming out of the name or the pitch or whatever else. And I'll go back to John Gray when he changed the name of his book from Men, Women, and Relationships to Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. He went from 20,000 copies to 50 million, not 50,000. 50 million copies. How'd you like to sell 50 books for a dollar a book? I'll take that. Half a dollar. I can do that too. I'll
Lot
go for it. Hey, I'm
of
ready.
authors out there that want to sell their
Yeah,
book.
well, exactly.
Yeah, there's lots of authors out there that want to sell their book. And, I have a friend actually who's writing a murder mystery book, and she is refining it. So, Brain Glue, I love that. That's just an amazing title and so much value and so many people. And you've got to 10x your profit, multiply your money in ways that you probably didn't even see fit. What's the best financial tip that you've received that's really helped you get to the next level that you can share with the audience?
Well, certainly it's brain glue. I mean, it's coming up with a tool that's going to really help you and being comfortable enough to try it. A lot of people, I mean, they have Paul Tran who came up with an electric razor to shave man's private areas. I don't want to get too much into that, okay? But he came up with a crazy name. What did he call the product? The lawnmower. He wanted to come up with a name that wouldn't offend people but would still help people understand what his product is. He changed the name of his company to Manscaped. So he landscapes a man with a lawnmower. Now, I never bought his product, but if I bought his product, I wouldn't share it with other guys. Let's start there, okay? But I would, I could see calling a friend and saying, hey, guess what I just bought? So, what'd you buy? I said, bought the lawnmower. The lawnmower? Well, you have to mow your lawn? No, it's a shaves man's private areas. I could see them saying, oh, talking to his girlfriend or his wife and saying, hey, guess what James just bought? The lawnmower. I mean, it triggers the brain and people want to pass it on and you get word of mouth. And so, to me, the greatest tool that you can have, whether you use, hopefully you'll get brain glue because people are loving it, but you want to understand how to get flames coming out of your product or idea so that people go like, whoa, first they notice it and mentally notice it, not just, oh yeah, that's really cool. It's like, whoa, what's that? Works fast and you won't stink. What? I mean, it wakes up the brain. And when it wakes up the brain, you have a much better chance of getting, somebody to buy your product or accept your idea.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of that goodness. For those of you listening, you need to get Brain Glue. So, yes, brainglue.com. Check the show notes to get your copy. And be sure to connect with James Bond on LinkedIn, where you can learn more. You can follow him and learn more about his genius strategy in selling. And we all do it from emotion, but really creating the art of brevity and coming up with that flaming offer so you can 10x your profit, multiply your money. Because remember, it doesn't matter how much money you make, it's what you do with it. Hey, thanks for tuning into the show. Give us a 5-star review and share it with your friends. Get ready to activate wealth. Be the next millionaire with a simple adjustment of your finances using an energetically aligned money multiplier system. You get to build wealth by partnering with money. It's time to have fun with finances. Pick a date, the link is in the show notes, to book your wealth activation call where you will get the one solution to multiply your money. Remember, it doesn't matter how much money you make, it's what you do with it.